Hey there, everybody. It is August the 18th, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay on WVEW LP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. You are also listening to us on clickexpose.com. And as always, we are broadcasting with pride worldwide on qnation.fm. I am Ken. And I want to pause at the start of this show to let you all know that we've undergone a significant change here at This Show Is So Gay, as I will no longer have Becca Sheehan sitting across the desk from me. As many of you know, Becca responded to a personals ad I posted online back in September of 2008 looking for a co-host. She's shared the airwaves with me as we've talked about marriage, hate crimes legislation, we welcomed an indigo girl to the show, and just tons and tons of other This Show Is So Gay notable evenings. I could not be more appreciative of the time she put into this show, and I truly hope you will join me in wishing her nothing but the best. But fear not, This Show Is So Gay will march gaily on, covering so gay topics, talking to so gay guests, and just generally being so gay. And with that, I welcome tonight's guest host for the evening. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Ken.
How are you?
I'm very well.
What number show is this for you?
This is number 3.
This is your third show.
It is.
How do you feel? In the first one, you were a little shell-shocked.
I was a little nervous because I hadn't done this before, so...
Okay. 2 was awesome.
2 was great.
And what are you predicting for number 3?
I think it can only get better from here.
Okay. That pause there made me nervous. So let's jump in. Can we jump into the gay news?
Absolutely.
So we have to give our Prop 8 update for folks somehow who were out of the loop, maybe vacationing.
Perhaps. Even out of the country.
Out of the country. Gay couples who had been gearing up to get married in California this week had to put their wedding plans on hold once again after a federal appeals court said it first wanted to consider the constitutionality of the state's same-sex marriage ban. A 3-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit of Appeals imposed an emergency stay on Monday, this past Monday, on a trial judge's ruling overturning the ban. So now they have to wait.
Yeah.
They have to wait. And there seems to be 2 sides of this.
Yeah. Well, one side, the first way I heard about this was one of my friends, actually two friends, they were engaged and living in LA, and they had set up their wedding to be this week. They'd gotten a JP and everything. They were so excited. And so the first way I found out about this was her saying on her Facebook, "Today, I hate California." And she'd been loving it out there. Both she and her partner had been loving it out there, having a great time. Their jobs are going great. Everything was great, 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 great. Their engagement was so wonderful. They've been having such a great time. And it's the first time that she has said, "I hate California." And so I was thinking, oh no, something happened with the Prop 8. Yeah. So I'm particularly bummed for them, because they've been gearing up for this and now they have to wait. But reading deeper into it, because I started reading some of the articles about the counterpoint on how this could end up being a more positive thing, because it's going to go to a higher court and it could be more permanent when it actually comes around to everyone realizing, oh, right, this is the right thing to do, allowing gay people to marry, because it is a constitutional right, really.
Now, here's the question.
Yeah.
What are you doing on Saturday?
Oh, I'm getting married too.
Where?
In Marlboro, Vermont.
So how do you put this into perspective? So this is a federal court judge, and
right,
this was a federal decision, and do you think that that's going to be? Now, please know I'm not going to be on any soapbox at your wedding that I am attending this Saturday. But do you think that will be? That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Do you think that will be in the air at all? Do you even want that in the air?
I really don't want that in the air at all. This and really, I feel kind of I already call my wife, because we had our civil union back in 2000, and this is our 10-year anniversary. In fact, our actual wedding anniversary is tomorrow.
Oh.
And we were going to do an anniversary party anyway, and then the law happened to change again. It was so funny. The first time around in 2000, we were going to have a ceremony regardless of the law, and then the law just happened to conveniently say, oh, and it's going to count for something. You're going to get a civil union. And we're like, great, that's good. We're going to do it anyway. And so conveniently again, 10 years later, we were going to have a party anyway, and it just so happened. And we wanted to do a vow renewal,
mm-hmm,
and it just so happens that the renewal is going to count again and have the paper say marriage instead of civil union. We just did the license today, which was kind of funny, because we had to check the box that said, still in civil union and getting married.
Nice.
Because there's the option of your first time and then you're divorced, and then there's civil union but getting married as the next thing.
Now, is there a particular point in the party? I don't know how much you have this planned out and scripted, but you're going to have to let me know before Saturday at what point, because I'm going to bring, obviously, I'll bring the text of the judge's decision in California with me.
Oh, excellent.
When
good,
that
good.
Reading should happen. I mean, I don't want to like interrupt
right.
you all. Mm-hmm. And I suppose there is a part of me that recognizes, all right, maybe this isn't about me. But if there's a particular point or d'oeuvres, you know, whenever we should probably maybe tug on an ear.
Actually, you know what might be nice? Here's what we can do. We can have like different dishes themed with different quotations from the ruling.
That would be great.
So maybe, you know, the veggie plate could be the intro to the whole decision. And then maybe the meat of it could actually be, we're going to have an enormous chocolate cake. You can stick it right on the top. Instead of, you know, like a wedding topper.
And I hear what you're saying. I think a reading of it, though, would really complement not just having the text, but me. So just think about that. I mean, you have days and days.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Hey, good news for you and possibly even for that lovely wife of yours. Apparently, there is a hormonal treatment that could perhaps cure lesbianism.
Wow.
Did you hear about this?
No.
Yeah. So a hormonal treatment given to pregnant mothers who are just in time for your wedding.
Oh, yes.
Yes. You don't have a lot of time, so we got to get moving on.
Oh, okay.
Suddenly your Thursday just filled
up.
Oh,
my God.
A hormonal treatment given to pregnant mothers who are at risk of giving birth to babies with ambiguous genitalia is raising concern among some researchers and gay activists because the treatment also decreases the likelihood that the baby will grow up to be a lesbian. It's the French pronunciation.
Oh, right.
The treatment, which is called something I can't pronounce and is only given to a few dozen women every year, is a step towards, quote, engineering in the womb for sexual orientation, says Alice Drager, an opponent of the treatment and professor at Northwestern University. In the face of criticism from Drager and others, such as the National Center for Lesbian Rights, a consortium of medical groups will release updated guidelines for the treatment in September. The updates are expected to describe the treatment as experimental and reiterate that the standard approach for cases of ambiguous genitalia is to perform corrective surgery, but people are against that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is either corrective surgery or no more lesbians. Just something to think about.
I've already
talked to Mark, who will be officiating, and we've come up with several ways to fit this in.
Oh, good. So I'm glad. So you know.
How crazy is that?
That's wicked crazy. I really don't like any of this genetic engineering stuff anyway. Right. I think it's really creepy. Right, you know, food and anything. I don't think we should be messing with that because I still don't think as much as we have come in terms of scientific advancements and research and how intelligent everyone is that does that stuff, I still don't think we get it.
Yeah.
I really don't think we get it, and I don't think we should be messing with it.
No, we should keep the lesbians.
Well, yeah.
They seem lovely.
I've actually
met that wife of yours.
Yeah.
She seems very nice.
She's very nice.
Very nice. Yeah. And with that, I feel this is a very appropriate song to play, as requested by tonight's amazing guest. Enjoy.
There was a boy, a very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one day, a magic day, he passed my way, And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. Thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
It's just classy.
Very much so.
Very classy. Hey, another lesbian story.
Ooh.
Look at this.
Oh, goody.
Hey, Mary Cheney, a lesbian.
Yes.
Now, if folks don't know, she's the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney. I don't know how you would not know that. It's kind of a local lesbian story. Now, she gave $500 to a Republican Senate candidate from New Hampshire who opposes marriage equality. Now, this is a big story. It's on all the wires. According to the Raw story, quote, Cheney gave $500 on April 1st to Kelly Ayotte, a Republican. Do we know Kelly?
Oh, not really. Although I think Sarah Palin likes her a lot.
Oh, well, there. Is she a mama grizzly?
I think she's just a little...
I sometimes think I'm a mama grizzly. Just want to put that out there. Kelly Ayotte, a Republican 2010 Senate candidate from New Hampshire. According to the election records database Newsmeet, Ayotte is seeking to fill the seat of retiring GOP Senator Judd Gregg. And multiple New Hampshire news outlets have confirmed that Ayotte is opposed to marriage equality, a right that Cheney has said she supports. So let me ask you this. So I don't know anything about Kelly Ayotte. Honestly,
yeah.
I guess the only thing I know at this point is that she's a Republican and that she opposes marriage equality.
And Sarah Palin likes her.
Yeah. And I perhaps am a mama grizzly. So what is a deal breaker for you? Is that a deal breaker? If you have a candidate, so let's change her party. Let's say that Kelly Ayotte, I don't know how to pronounce her name, is a Democrat.
Okay.
And she's for all the things that you are for.
Mm-hmm.
But she is against marriage equality.
I'd have a real problem with that.
Yeah.
Especially if she was going to be really active about it.
Because this is kind of like the Target story. Have you followed the Target story, too? Where everybody's boycotting Target because they gave a lot of money
to some other
gay people.
But
what they're saying is that look, this is one platform on all these other platforms.
Right.
And therefore, all of these other great things that we're for... But yes, they're not for marriage equality.
Right. And I think there are different ways of being for and against it. I mean, Obama isn't exactly for it either.
Yeah. Exactly.
But he's not stridently going out there saying, I'm never going to support gay people ever, ever, ever. And this is evil and wrong. And gay people are from the devil. And I'm going to drop tons of money to make sure that gay people are very miserable and unhappy. If the rest of the country goes in the direction of wanting marriage equality, I don't think he's going to completely stand in the way, although he may like tinker around with the wording of laws and whatnot, but I don't think he would totally stand in the way, even though he says, oh, I'm not exactly for it. So if this woman's saying, I'm not for it, but I'm also not going to go and craft lots of legislation and take up all of my valuable legislature time with this,
right,
I'm going to actually do all this other work on the environment. I'm going to do this work on healthcare. I'm going to do this work on creating jobs. I'm going to do this work on zoning and all this other kind of good stuff. But this just happens to be my position on that. If she was going to be really strong in all those other issues, I'd have to think about it and see who else was out there and if they're going to be as strong on the other things I cared about.
Now, I don't, and again, I don't know Kelly.
I don't really either, although definitely a Sarah Palin endorsement is not high praise in my book.
But if Sarah Palin endorsed this show, I'd take it. just want to put that out there. I don't know if they're considering that. I would not turn that down. I would not say, and in fact, it would be on the homepage. Sarah Palin endorses this show. So let's hold our breath for that. But
okay.
Let's boil this news story down to the fact that it is news, and it was all over the place.
Yeah.
It is news that a gay person gave money to a candidate who is against gay marriage. Now, again, maybe Kelly is pounding the pavement and really going door to door and gay's bad. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. So
that might be the case, in which case, yes, that's not good. That's
right.
Not good. But so going maybe just off my basic assumption, which I don't know to be true, that never stops me, that Kelly's against gay marriage, it's just interesting that is news. It is news that a gay person supported someone who is against marriage equality. I don't know. I'm for marriage equality. I'm going to a wedding on Saturday, but I generally, and I'm speaking at it. I don't know. I think that there are a lot of other issues out there.
There are.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know who supports marriage equality?
Who?
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Oh.
We just talked about her a few weeks ago. So Elizabeth Hasselbeck, my favorite person on The View, and by that I mean, you know, she's not. She said that it would surprise people to know that, quote, I actually support gay marriage. I think the gay marriage thing, first of all, anyone who calls it the gay marriage thing, that's just funny.
That is pretty funny.
I think, quote, I think the gay marriage thing would definitely surprise people. I mean, for some people, it would surprise them to the point that they won't want to hear it. Yeah, this is Elizabeth Hasselbeck, where if you tune in a couple shows ago, you'll hear us cover the fact that she said on the air, on The View, that lesbians, the reason that many women are lesbians is because men are going for younger women, so they really have no choice but to turn other lesbians. Mm-hmm. But now there's a cure for that, so that should be okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play one more song, and then excitement after that. Enjoy.
No, I can't take one more step towards you, 'cause all that's waiting is regret. Don't you know I'm not your ghost anymore? You lost the love I love the most. I learned to live. Gonna catch a cold from the ice inside your soul, so don't come back for me. Who do you think you are? I hear you're asking all around if I am anywhere to be found, but
come back for me. Who do you think you are? if there's a smile on my face, it's only there trying to fool the public. But when it comes down to fooling you, now honey, that's a different subject. Don't let my glad expression give you the wrong impression, 'cause really I'm sad. Oh, I'm sadder than sad. You're gone and I'm hurting so bad, but like a clown I pretend to be glad. Well, there's some sad things that are known to man, but ain't too much sadder than the tears of a clown when there's no one around. Now if I appear to be carefree, it's only to camouflage my sadness, in order to shield my hurt and pride. I try to cover this hurt with a show of gladness, but don't let my show convince you that I've been happy since you decided to go. Oh, how I need you so. I'm hurt and I want you to know, but for others I put on a show. Now there are some sad things that are known to man, but ain't too much sadder than.
All right, I feel it is time to welcome a guest. How do you feel?
I think it's a good time.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I feel like this secret curtain is being opened.
It's parting. Well, I got to introduce you. Howard Bragman, everybody, has been a communicator, an educator, an entrepreneur, a writer, and a lecturer for decades. He founded Bragman Nyman Caffarelli Public Relations and Marketing in 1989, one of the most respected PR agencies in the U.S. In 2005, he founded 15 Minutes, a strategic media and public relations agency, and serves as its chairman. He's been an adjunct professor of public relations, a nationally respected crisis counselor, an award-winning activist, a frequent guest on television shows, insert breath, and has penned both articles and the 2008 book, Where's My 15 Minutes? Get Your Company, Your Cause, or Yourself the Recognition You Deserve. Howard Bragman, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
God, I sound better than, you know, you've been talking to my mother or something.
We talked to her right before the show. She's very proud of you, Howard.
Oh, my God. Somebody recognized her name and said, is your son the guy on TV the other day? And she was so excited.
Look at that. We love a proud mom.
You know, but my Aunt Manya is very upset with me. I'm ready to confess on the air.
Tell us.
Well, you know, did you know I signed a client this week?
Howard, I didn't even know if we were going to go there, but I did perhaps read an article that you signed a certain client. Tell everyone who you signed.
I signed Steven Slater, the JetBlue flight attendant.
You signed Steven Slater, the JetBlue flight attendant.
Right.
And so I read that you met at a Barry Manilow concert.
No, we met on the phone and I invited him to a Barry
Manilow concert. Ah, okay.
And so my Aunt Manya has been a flight attendant for American Airlines for more, I'm not allowed to say how long.
Let's say for 3 years.
Let's say we're talking many decades.
Okay.
We're talking many decades. I'm 54 and it's my aunt. Okay.
All right. So, I was trying to make her sound younger, but
she looks great. Okay. Aunt Manya looks really good. So she called me up and she said, I saw you sign Steven Slater. I said, I did. And she goes, you know, a lot of us work on airplanes for many, many years, and we feel like telling people to F off, and we feel like pulling the slide, but we don't do it.
You should.
I don't think you should be so proud of representing him.
You should sign your aunt.
She's got some POV, that girl. Okay?
So where do you see this going? Where do you see it going with Stephen?
What I think is really interesting is a couple things.
Sure.
Number one, America does not know Stephen Slater.
Right.
They know what's been reported, much of it inaccurate. They've seen a few pictures. They've heard a few snippets. The good news is everybody's going to love this guy.
Oh, good.
He's funny. He's smart. He's adorable. And he's just a really good guy. And the other thing is what he touched in society. And I think that's what's really, really important. And in my mind, there are three big areas he touched. And number one is there's obviously troubles in the economy.
Right.
A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people who still have their jobs are working harder than ever for less money or the same money than they did. And, of course, that's frustrating. And so, as we all know, it's tough out there.
Right.
And the second thing he touched is the basic lack of civility and manners in society. People are just rude, and they think it's okay now. And they stand up in the State of the Union or screaming at each other in Congress or just, you know, there's been some egregious stuff going on.
Right.
And the third thing is airplane flight. You know, as Stephen said, he says, God, I used to work for TWA and I'd slice Chateaubriand over Paris and now I'm throwing a bag of Cheetos at somebody who can't be bothered to take a bath before they get on the airplane. And I think if we stick with travel and stick with understanding that he captured the zeitgeist and he's repentant for his mistakes and he does it with humor and warmth and charm and intelligence, he'll get through this quite well.
You've used the word, and I was reading through your book, I love the word mentor. I just think it's a word that we don't use often enough when we're talking about truly anything in the LGBT community. Do you see yourself as a mentor to him? Do you coach him? How do you approach this?
But I'm more than a mentor now. I'm a guy who's, I've been doing kind of intense, I've been doing PR 30 years. I've been doing intense PR for many years. I used to work at a huge PR firm that did huge crisis problems. I worked with Monica Lewinsky in the heat of it. I know what sort of goes on.
Right.
And I sort of see through the clutter and don't get bogged down in the nuances.
That's good.
That's what I'm there for, is to provide some clarity and judgment. And I'm acting, in Hollywood, we call it a manager, somebody who sort of sorts through the offers and puts a team together and considers what his next steps are.
All right. Well, you've come up, your name has come up, obviously, a ton of times in our two-year history of this show, particularly in connection to a celebrity coming out. Is that, when you were building your own brand, was this something that you saw yourself setting out to do? Is it something that
not
just kind
all.
Not at all?
It's something I fell into. I came out at a very early age. In my time, I'm 54, and I came out at 22 to my parents. Was out to my friends before that. And it was almost 20 years ago, and it was National Coming Out Day, and the head of the Gay and Lesbian Center in L.A. said, listen, I'm going to be out of town, and I have Dick Sargent from Bewitched and Sheila Kuehl coming out of the closet. Can you handle the press for me?
Huh.
I said, of course I will, and I put him on Entertainment Tonight. And that was my start of helping people out of the closet, and I've done more than 10 people in that time, Meredith Baxter, Chaz Bono's gender transition, Shelley Wright recently, John Amici, the basketball player. And it's wonderful. In that case, again, I'm not the mentor, I'm the midwife.
Right.
I'm helping take them to the other side. And you know, it's an honor. Of all the things I do, it's an honor.
Yeah, there was one article which I thought was a hilarious comparison that likened you to the ferrier across the River Styx. I thought that was a good one. So can you, will you walk us through it, Howard? So someone comes to you and they say, Howard, I'm thinking about coming out. I'm not sure what I should do. Will you help me? How do you start? You know, as you said, you've done this so many times. Where do you start? Where does this conversation begin?
I start with saying, why do you want to come out? What's going on? Who knows? Who doesn't? And like Shelley Wright, I had the conversation a year ahead of time. And she said, I got a book and an album coming out. And we had a lot of time to plan. Meredith Baxter, not so much.
Right.
Tabloids are about to out me, and we need to get ahead of the story. I'm not ashamed of it, but I want to do it with great dignity, which we did. Everyone is different. You know, there's not a blueprint, but there's a process. And the process is to sit down and get inside their heads. And there's actually been people where I've said, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't think you're ready. There's somebody I'm working with now who wasn't ready, who is ready now. And we're working on ways to do that. So, and then once we get to the person, we decide if it's an athlete, do we want to do it in a sports thing? Do we want to write an op-ed piece? I mean, I've done it all different ways. And it's sort of fun to decide how each person should do it, and each person should do it a different way.
Right.
Do you think that there's ever going to be a time in the near future where celebrities coming out, or really anyone, isn't going to be a big deal, isn't going to be a thing?
I think it has been to a certain extent. I think Ricky Martin certainly got coverage. It wasn't huge.
Right.
Sean Hayes did. I mean, we've had more people coming out since November when Meredith came out than probably any time in history. And I think it is, but I still think an A-star is going to be a big name. And I think it's still news, and it depends how you play it and what community. Like, Ricky Martin very much resonated both in the state of Florida that has some oppressive laws against gays and lesbians, and in the Latino community, which is an important constituency that doesn't always acknowledge our civil rights. I think everybody, you know, Shelley Wright in the country music world.
That's big. That's big.
It is huge.
You know, and she had number one country songs and dated Brad Paisley, and, you know, so she's a big deal in country music, and that was a big thing. So everyone sort of reaches an audience.
And I must say, was great on Oprah.
I loved it. Didn't you love the interchange with her father?
I thought the whole, there was just an arc to that whole hour. And I have to say, I have not caught a lot of Oprah in the past couple of years, but I watched that one and I thought that was, she, when you talked to her, tell her this show is so gay, said she did extraordinarily well. It was just spot on.
I was proud of her, but she, you know, I coach people. Okay?
Right.
And I say, here's what's going to happen and here's the kind of questions. People think that I'm like trying to put answers in their head, and that's the last thing I ever want to do. What I'm trying to have them do is understand what's going to happen and be as ready for it as they can and not get knocked off by a surprise and be their authentic self and get their own story out in a medium that they may not be that used to.
Right.
So I read recently that you are planning to do a reality show on this very topic. Can you talk a little about that?
Any celebrities that Ben and Jerry want to come out? Yes, I was approached by some producers in A&E, and we sold a special, it's called, and an hour special called Coming Out, where we'll deal with celebrities coming out of the closet. They don't want me to say a lot more than that, but it's wonderful. I get approached all the time to do these bitchy reality shows where I'm the bitchy publicist throwing flower arrangements and yelling about where Paris Hilton is sitting, and I won't do that.
No.
I got a little dignity left. Not a lot, but a little. And I wanted to do a certain kind of show, and I just think it's great. And who's not going to watch somebody come out on TV, right? It's Al Capone's Gay Vault.
Indeed. Yeah, exactly. Now, I was reading through your book, and I was reading through the Ten Commandments of PR, and I think that some of these would surprise some folks, because there's certainly a sentiment that's out there with reality television and with Page Six and whatever it may be, that, well, gosh, any press that you can get is good press. But Howard Bragman says all press is not good press, correct?
You think Mel Gibson's having fun?
No, not so much.
You think Lindsay Lohan's having a good time?
Not so much.
No, all press is clearly not good press. And we live in a society where people think same is the end result. Same is currency. As George Clooney calls it, same is a checkbook that takes you, it can buy you, get you laid, it can get you things, it can get you power, it can change the world if you're into causes. But just being famous, that's a pain in the butt.
Right.
Okay?
Mm.
I was on a TV show with Lisa Ling, and I was, you know, we were talking about the nature of celebrity. And so Lisa Ling, I said, you know, like, some, aren't there times you just want to give people, you know, the finger when you're driving? She goes, oh, I do. They think I'm Lucy Liu.
That's funny.
Oh, well, good.
And then the other one that is really my favorite one, that there is no wall between public and private. And I got to say,
everything, text messages and phone calls and just every, I don't know if you remember, about a month ago, there was an African-American teenage girl, I think it was in Northwest, like Oregon or Seattle, somewhere like that, where she was punched out by a policeman. Do you happen to remember that?
I don't remember that one.
Well, no. It happened in the Pacific Northwest. And the interesting thing was they had video of it, so of course it's all over the news. But it wasn't just this guy punching her out that somebody had video. There were like six people with cell phones recording.
Right.
And you know, it's also one reason more people are coming out, because they can't live lives anymore and sort of, you know, go to a bar and who's going to know and prove it.
Right.
Whereas now, here, I'll put it on my cell phone and I'll Twitter it, and, you know.
Mm. It's just out there.
And right. It's just out there. And it's just a very transparent world we live in. And corporations are finding that, and individuals certainly find that. And we all find it on Facebook and things like that. And then my book, which probably get about for about $3 now, it's a deal. my book, Where's My 15 Minutes, dealt with a lot of that stuff and a lot of, you know, personal identity, because right now we all have some sort of profile. I don't care if you host a radio show in Vermont or you're a doctor or own a dry cleaner, we all have some sort of profile, and if you don't manage it, doesn't mean it goes away.
Right. Well, I want to read one quote from that book, because this resonated. Quote, I truly believe in an informed, intelligent society. I believe it's time to open the curtain so others can begin to define themselves, change the world, or just simply communicate better and clearer in a crowded and noisy world. As someone, Howard, who really has lived a lifetime of activism as well, to, you know, everything else we've talked about, how are you looking to change the world these days?
You know, I changed the world through a lot of ways. First and foremost is my company and the kind of wonderful people I have, and I get to mentor there, if you want to use that word,
right,
and partner with. And I've been doing that. My first company had over 100 employees when I sold it, and my second company has 20. I taught literally thousands of kids at USC over the years. Which was great. So I mentored a lot of them. And we do a lot of interesting things. We do a lot of gay causes. We take people out, which I think is positive. We did a Shepherd Fairey art event for gay marriage pro bono.
Right.
We do a lot of pro bono work, and we've done a lot of work for, I've worked for almost every gay and lesbian organization there is, doing PR, and a lot of them, which is an honor for me, a lot of the heads will call me when there's a problem and ask my advice. And I give it to them, and I don't charge. I just say, hey, here's what it sounds like. Here's who I would call to fix it. And I think that's a real honor. And then I think I've taken it to the public arena by the Coming Out TV show. I think when you see me on TV, if you see me on Larry King or Joy Behar or Good Morning America, you'll see that I kind of want people to know what's going on. And
right.
I explain it hopefully in a way that they can understand what's going on. And I think that's kind of fun to do. I, you know, a lot of publicists just want to pretend everything is, I keep thinking of the Dr. Seuss book where the kid feeds the goldfish too much and it goes too big. And then the guy comes with the snorkel and takes it in the in the bathroom and comes out with a fish like the old size.
Yes.
And you don't want to know how it happened. I think that's what some publicists want to do, and I want to sort of show how it works, because you'll still hire me if you're in deep doo-doo, okay?
There, exactly.
I mean,
right.
You know, it's... And the world, a lot of people are scared because the world has changed, and it's changed, it's changing every day, you know? It's a new world out there where most people don't read traditional newspapers or watch the evening news, and most people get most of their news online immediately. And it's different, and I think people think they don't like newspapers. It's all about delivery methods. We love the news now.
Right.
But that's changed, too, and we work really hard to keep up with it. And I can imagine a normal person who doesn't deal with it 12 hours a day in their job trying to keep up, like you guys, trying to communicate, keep an audience, market yourself,
indeed,
do your activism. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And, and so I want people to know how to do this, and... All right, I want to give you my favorite tip from the book, because I love people to go away with something. Can I give them the favorite?
Tell us.
I think that people make big mistakes with emails, okay? And email addresses are free, right? You can go to almost any website, Yahoo and Gmail, and you can create free email addresses, right? Okay. I think we need multiple email addresses, because we all get so much mail. I have one that is all my friends, you know, people I know, people I love. I have one that's business, you know, the pure business email.
Yep.
I have one that is just a commerce email, it's called. And the commerce email is what you do if you buy on eBay or Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Or you pay for things online. Everything financial goes on that website.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And that way, if you get a thing from a bank that says, you know, your account's been hacked, and it comes to your personal email but not your commerce email, you go, I know that's spam, delete.
Right.
And you got to protect yourself and your privacy hard. You got to understand when you put something up on Facebook that's pretty much public for the world. I mean, honestly, I'll tell you a funny story. Monday morning, I was flying from New York to L.A., and I get on a flight, and it was a lovely flight. I was sitting next. Do you know who the actor Patrick Wilson is?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's as sweet as he is adorable, okay?
Okay.
And
it's hard to imagine, because he's pretty adorable.
He's really, really cute.
Yeah.
It was early in the morning, but that was awful pretty to look at, okay? and then he was sweet, and I logged into my email on the airplane, and the fact that I'm working with Steven Slater is breaking all over the place, okay?
Right.
And so I realized I got to sort of take control before it breaks in a really big public place. So I posted it on my Facebook in the words I wanted and the understanding I wanted. I email Harvey Levin and say, pick up my Facebook post on TMZ, and Harvey does it, and within 5 minutes, and in fact, so Patrick's sitting next to me, and I said, read this Facebook posting. You know, I was telling him I was working with Slater, and read this. He goes, yeah, that's nice. That's well written. And I put the thing in, and I, you know, 10 minutes later, I show him, look, it's on TMZ.
Wow.
And that's just the kind of world we can live in, where, and that went everywhere. I'm on an airplane.
That's
doing that.
I don't know if I'm impressed or appalled. It's a little scary.
I don't know how I feel, but it's just the way the world works right now.
Wow.
It's funny. PR used to be about stuff in press kits and collating photos and paper, and it's in a pure idea business now.
Hmm. Look at that.
And it's really kind of fun. And I, you know, I love this business. And if I'm the guy who goes on TV and helps people understand what it is and how it works, then that's good, because it's really important to what we do and what's going on in the world.
Hugely.
To understand the spin behind stuff.
Hugely. All right, we got to ask you about some of the songs that you requested, because we've been playing them all night. So this is the part, Howard, where I'm going to give you the names of some of the songs we've been playing of yours. And we want you to tell our listening audience, Howard Bragman, what these songs say about Howard Bragman.
Okay.
All right. So we'll start off, and this is interesting, because this is our, you know, we're approaching our 100th show. We have never played any of these songs, which is very exciting. What?
Because I didn't pick Lady Gaga and Madonna.
Okay, that's probably why. But anyway, so Howard,
or
what?
Elton John, wait.
Yeah, we played a lot of Elton John. if I play I Got a Feeling one more time by the Black Eyed Peas, although we love all of our guests. What does Christina Perry's Jar of Hearts say about Howard Bragman?
Well, can I tell you the story of how I discovered the song?
Absolutely.
Do you know who Christina Perry is? Do you guys know?
I don't know Christina Perry.
All right, here's the story. Christina Perry was discovered by a music manager, a company called Bill Silva Management. They managed Jason Mraz, and one of the young guys who worked there has this guy who sometimes sends him stuff on the internet. Okay, Christina Perry posted something on YouTube. It had 141 hits. He sees it, says, this girl's got something. It kind of feels like a young Alanis with a little Mraz thrown in. And so they nurtured a career, and they had the song ready. And then she knew somebody who knew somebody, and she went on So You Think You Can Dance and did Jar of Hearts, or they danced to it. And the song went crazy on iTunes, and it moved into the top 20, and this girl just secured a seven-figure record deal, unheard of in this world.
Wow.
And the story was, Bill Silva Management happens to be somebody I do some business with and a very dear friend, and I didn't know about this girl. And I'm in Tucson doing an interview about something on a Saturday morning, very early in the morning in Tucson, to do the CBS Early Show. And I'm sitting there, and usually I'm in a studio in L.A. or New York, and you're either in the studio or you got a camera seeing what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I got an earpiece, okay?
Right.
And there's a camera on me in some funky college studio in Tucson. And they put you in about 10 minutes ahead of time, and it was the end of the hour, and they said, we're going to do, for the end of the hour, it's our second cup of coffee on the CBS Early Show, and it's Christina Perry singing Jar of Hearts. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this, and go, oh, my God, this is like an amazing song. And it just really, really moved me, and it stayed with me. And then I tracked down, and I said, I got to find this girl, who's, you know, and I find out she's with my friend's management. So
look at that.
That's how I did. And in Jar of Hearts, we all have histories, don't we, kids? We all have histories, and we've all, you know, I've liked to think I've loved a lot, and I've given a lot, and I've made some mistakes and learned, and I don't know if they're mistakes if I learn, because I'm happy where I am today. I'm married to a wonderful man. We were married 2 years ago legally, and together about 7 years. And I married far above my station in life. Or one of my friends reminded me, there weren't that many options, were there, Howard? Isn't that mean?
Not very nice.
So,
no.
Jar of Hearts is a tribute to the men I've loved and lost.
Lovely. What does Nat King Cole's Nature Boy say about Howard Bragman?
Nature Boy is just beautiful music, and it reminds me that I spend most of my time between L.A. and New York, but I grew up in Flint, Michigan, and I'm kind of a guy of the people, and I I'm not very highfalutin deep down in my heart, okay?
There you go.
I'm wearing blue jeans and a cotton shirt to work today, and I look neat and clean, but that's, about the best I can do, and, I remember growing up out. We lived in the suburbs, and there were farms around, and it was summertime, and you go by, and you pick up tomatoes and corn, and so, it's my nature boy, but it's just it's a hauntingly beautiful song.
Love
I don't
it.
Know why. I guess that's the mood when I picked these. I was sort of going for haunting, and my dear, beloved friend and client, Barry Manilow, has a show in Paris, Las Vegas, and one of the things he does in the show is revert back to Nature Boy, which he recorded with his grandfather in Times Square in this recording place when he was about 8 years old. And then he goes from where he's singing as an 8-year-old to where he does it. And so I really, and I happen to like, I love Barry's version. I love the Nat King Cole version.
Love it.
So.
All right, we're making you do one more. We'll make you do one more. Because this is a different version of Tears of a Clown. I saw He Wants Tears of a Clown. I have that on my iPod. What I did not have, but I now do, is the Kevin Mahogany version of Tears of a Clown. Tell everyone about that.
Well, is this... I listen to, I have satellite radio, and we were sitting by the pool one day. I know, I wish I had more days by the pool. Well, usually Sundays, we sit by the pool a little and, you know, get a little, soak up some vitamin D. And the song came out, and it was just really an amazing song. And I mean, like, immediately tracked it down and downloaded it. And I love that song, and certainly I'm a guy who uses humor as a defense mechanism, and I understand the Tears of a Clown concept, and I'll even own a significant part of that, and that's perfectly fine. But I just, again, it's, you know, I tried to pick stuff that was kind of special to me in hopes that people might discover it a little.
All good
and
stuff.
And I love Lady Gaga, and I love Madonna, and you know, Madonna and I are both from Michigan, and we went to the University of Michigan, so we're down with each other. We're cool.
There you go. Well, Howard, where can people go to learn more about all the cool things that you're doing?
I think if you follow my company website,
yeah,
which is 15minutes.com, F-I-F-T-E-E-N, minutes, plural, .com, and you know, put in a Google alert when I'm talking about something. I have too many jobs, okay? I have a PR firm, and I have specific clients, and I write books, and I give some speeches, and I go on TV, and so, you know, I got a lot of jobs, so it's funny. I got to get better about Facebook because I'm maxed out personally on Facebook, and I have to update my fan page and use that to talk about when I'm going on a TV show.
Yes.
And do that, and I do that on Facebook, but I don't make it public enough, so I guess I should just tell the world, right?
Well, now, which email account would the Facebook alerts go to in all the different email accounts that we've established?
I don't get Facebook alerts. That drive me crazy.
There you go. So we just cancel that out.
I have 5,000 friends.
Look at that. All right. Well, Howard, I have to tell you, you are doing something for the LGBT community that I really want to say that no one else is doing. I love reading about you. I do like the idea of shepherding and mentoring, and you're doing all those things. And you referenced it earlier, but to reiterate, when you're on TV, when you're in these articles, you are so unbelievably accessible. And that's just not something that everyone is. And I think that you introduce LGBT issues and issues of Judaism, which I think does not get nearly enough press of the work that you've done there, to a whole different community. So on behalf of all of our listeners, we thank you so much for all the great work you're doing.
Well, you're really kind, and I really appreciate what you guys do. And, you know, I know it's hard because your audience is barely 2 million in Vermont.
Don't worry. We're on iTunes. We go worldwide.
But I think, you know, the time and spirit, and it's been a joy being here.
So. Well, thank you. I mean, I don't want you staying up all night and working on a marketing plan for our show. You should get some sleep.
You know, you keep reading the book, you'll get some pretty good phone
calls. All right, I'll take it.
I promise you. I promise you guys.
Fantastic. Howard, an absolute treat having you on the show. Please keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, guys.
All right, all the best, Howard.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. It's just so different because this is, Howard's so behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we spend a lot of time talking to people on the show who are front and center, who are the scene.
Yeah.
And he does this balance. It's amazing that the behind the scenes aspect still gets him in the press,
mm-hmm.
which I think is great because he's role modeling and he's doing the work.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Good stuff. So I don't know. So I got to keep in mind that I guess not all news is good news for this show. So, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who knew? So there are a ton of ways to get in touch with us. We love emails. Love, love, love emails. So send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Every single email gets answered. If you have guest requests, you should let me know on that email account. And we have a pretty darn good track record of getting those guests. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com. You can listen to old shows. You can click on upcoming. We're about booked up. I got to update the website. I'll do it tomorrow. But we're booked up through October. So it's
cool.
Got a lot of amazing, amazing guests coming up. And as always, you can stroll on over to the Facebook and type in This Show Is So Gay. And you can like us. I love that that's a verb. It's something you can do. It's not just something that I put this up on Facebook. I don't know if you saw this a few weeks ago, and I said, why don't all of my friends like this show is so gay? And people were responding saying, no, I do like it. And I was just trying to say, no, you have to like the group.
You have to click the button.
It's an action verb.
Yes.
It's not just a state of being. You have to like the show.
Right.
So good stuff. Hey, how'd you do on your third time out?
I think it was fine.
Got to get you some better adjectives. You did very well.
Well, good. I'm very
all right.
glad.
Well, thank you so much. Jody for welcome. Guest hosting tonight. And you remember how we closed the show? It's been a while.
It has been a while. It's been many months. Yes.
So we need everybody to get out there, go do some amazing, amazing things. And remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be so gay?
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather. Since my man and I ain't together, keeps raining all of the time. Oh, yeah, life is bare. Stormy weather, and I just can't get my poor self together. Oh, I'm weary all of the time. The time. So weary walked in and met me. Oh, yeah, if it stays away, all rocking chair is gonna get me. All I do is pray the Lord.